Well, greetings, folks. It's good to be with you. This Sunday morning, you that are with us by way of the internet, it's good to reach out and just have a time of fellowship with you. So may the Lord richly bless you today as we are gathered together in the knowledge of the Lord and gathered together by the Spirit of the Lord. Throughout the Lord's body and around the world, there are those who are being truly gathered together, not just going to buildings, but truly gathered. And it's just a joy to gather with you in the understanding and in the knowledge and in the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk with you about today, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the person of the Lord Jesus aside from you, aside from his body, aside from his house, the Lord Jesus in one place and we in another. No, I want to share with you once again today the Lord Jesus, but looking at our relationship and looking at his union with we who are his body. Now, friends, I'm not in any hurry on this. I mean, I'm not going to be here with you the rest of the day, but I'm not trying to rush through my speaking either. I want to be as clear as I possibly can be. So that you and I have an understanding that is truly given of God. Now, I just need to read some verses to you. One of the things that I want to talk with you about with regard to Christ, and by the way, you guys who receive the monthly CD teachings, that monthly lesson that comes on CDs right now, we're talking about which is coming for this month, April. We're talking about the I Am That I Am. Now, have you ever thought about that? I mean, in reading the Scripture, have you ever thought about that? I get a lot of people asking me questions from here and there and everywhere about certain things, but I'm wondering if we have thoughts concerning Christ, not concerning his existence, but concerning who he really is and what our union with him really is. I mean, if our heart has a desire to know him and to truly begin to comprehend what salvation actually and experientially is. Not just the fact that we go to church sometimes, or we're at least a member of an organization. No, I'm talking about our union with Christ. And the I Am That I Am. What a tremendous statement that is. What a tremendous name that is. And there's really only one that can fulfill in every way that name. But within doing that, I want us to look at Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life. Why? Well, because he says, I am the resurrection and the life, and I'm looking at that name, I am. I am. So, I want us to consider, I am the door. If any man enter into me, the door unto life. And I want us to consider the door unto resurrection and the life. Just think about it now. Think about it. There is a door given of God. It is set forth in the scriptures in types and shadows and testimonies. Oh, yes, it is. But then it is fulfilled. Not as a type, not as a shadow. It is fulfilled as a living reality. Fulfilled as our entrance into life. Jesus says, I am the door. I want us to consider that in a moment. And then also, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, hon, what does that truly mean to you? What does that truly mean as a fulfillment, as a reality, as what does it really mean as being who Christ is? And how does it affect you and I? How does it affect? Well, let me just restate that, because how does it affect a believer who is actually seeing Christ? Because, honey, if you're not actually seeing Him and have no heart to see Him, then it doesn't affect, then what I just got through saying probably doesn't affect you at all. I mean, a big building on a corner with a cross out in front of it probably affects you more one way or another than the reality of who Christ is. But there are those who desire to know Him. Believers who desire in their hearts to know Him. And this reality of which we will be speaking and are now speaking does affect those who desire to know Christ. So I want to read something to you here in the just with regard to how Christ as being who and what He is, how that affects us. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 through 11. Well, that's two verses, isn't it? Verse 9, who hath, this is Paul, of course, writing to Timothy, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Son, do you realize that the salvation that you have, the salvation that you have in Christ, do you realize that the salvation that you have, that we have, that I have in Christ was exactly what Paul is saying here? Was established to His own person, His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ before we ever existed. Have you ever thought about that? Your salvation existed a long time before you did. Our salvation existed from before the foundation of the world. How long ago was that? I won't argue with anyone over that, how many thousands of years or what, before man was created. Therefore, before I was created. Therefore, before I was existed, before my mother and my father existed, before I was born in the flesh, my salvation existed. And it was the Holy Spirit who drew me unto that reality. I didn't know anything about it. How could I have known anything about it? Well, I could have went to Sunday school and I could have went here and there. Yes, I could have done all of that. And I did that. And I heard different things that salvation, you know, I heard how to be saved and why we had to be saved. I heard a whole lot about dying and going to heaven. But the thing that brought me to salvation was the one who Himself has all the knowledge of salvation. And that is the Holy Spirit of God. Because when Jesus even says, when He who is the Spirit of truth is come, that means unto you. And honey, that was spoken by the Lord Jesus and is recorded as being spoken by the Lord Jesus over 2,000 years ago. Now, darling, 2,000 years ago may not be too long ago, but it was way before I was ever born, 2,000 years ago. And yet we're looking back at more than 2,000 years ago. We're looking before man or the earth was ever created. Before the world was, our salvation was secured in Christ and purposed of God and determined of God. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. See? With a holy calling. A calling that is not to just, oh my, I was listening to our local radio station on the way up here that just 4 miles, I just live down the road here, but coming here this morning, and I had that station on, not because it's a religious station, it isn't, but it's a good local station, But there was a preacher on it this morning. And he made this statement about the Lord Jesus. Right after I turned it on, he was making this statement. In kind of a humdrum way of talking. But he made something like this statement. How that and it wasn't the whole thing he was saying, but it was part of the statement that I heard. And he said, and he sent his own son to this earth so that we could have better lives. And I just reached up and turned it off. Our salvation is not about better lives. Our salvation, listen to me carefully, is about the only life that there is. Think about that. Think about that. If you are truly born from above, if Christ is truly in you by His Spirit, then it is not a better life you have. It is life Himself. It is the only life, the only true living life that you have. It is Christ in you. Who have saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. How long ago was that, Paul? I mean, it was 2,000 years ago when he said this. Well, it was according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ, really before we existed. It was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Do we really understand now what Paul is saying here and what I'm reading? This just didn't come along because humanity had a great need. Salvation was determined of God before humanity existed. Now we've said time and time again here, the salvation, while it eradicates sin and death, salvation is not really based upon sin or death. We know that that is dealt with. No, hon, salvation is Christ Himself dwelling by His Spirit in your soul, in my soul, or else my soul has no life, but is separated from God and without life. So let's continue. I'm not going to read the rest of these verses because I haven't gotten off of verse 1 here and all of these printouts, and I really want to get on beyond that, because the verses that I've read to you are verses that says that deals with like in Colossians 2, verse 14 through verse 23. And if you'll read that, it will have a tremendous reality to it. With every one of these listings that I've got here, you can look at that. Just read it. This is 2 Timothy 1, verse 9 and through 11, and then you've got Colossians, if you're writing this down, Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 through 23, and then Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, which says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, that is, shall be revealed in you, is exactly what appear there means. I'm not making it up. That's what it means. It's the only thing you can make it mean. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. What a tremendous reality. What a tremendous reality. What a tremendous union. What a tremendous salvation. Glory. You see, hon, is Christ in you. And then, John 5, 24 through 29, that, of course, is verses concerning what Jesus said to the Jews concerning who he was and concerning that the hour is come. And he was saying this to the Jews before he went to the cross, but the time of the cross had come. Whenever the Lord says the hour is come, he's talking about the cross. And he said to them, the hour is come. The hour is coming and now is, that the dead will hear my voice, and they that hear, and that part of it, they that hear, means, and they who hear unto obedience, they that hear shall live. The dead who hear my voice shall live. And that's what we're talking about, and I want to just go ahead into that with you. I coined a little term I'm using for these sessions, not only here, but for the sessions that I'm using on the monthly CDs. This is a study manual that we have done here. This comes from teachings that were done, you know, several years ago, and it is the door unto fullness. So I just want to. So I'm using that as my outline. And I've written here, I coined a little term, the I am factor. The I am factor. There is an I am factor to our salvation. Our salvation is in the I am that I am, the eternal one himself. Jesus represents himself here as the I am. And it is in that term, and it's in that term, I am, that everything of spiritual life comes to find its fullness, and its fullness comes to find its fulfillment and its fullness because Christ, the I am, is both the fulfillment of all the promises of God. He is the fulfillment of all the expectation of the prophets. And he is the fullness of our salvation. It is all found in him. Darling, life is not me living. And I was thinking of that this morning when I heard this brother on the radio say, you know, God gave his son that sent his son. He didn't say gave his son. He said God sent his son to this world so that we could have better lives. And I was thinking of this. Life is not me living. Life is Christ living in me. And in case I don't get any farther than some of this, I want to let you understand that abundant life. Jesus uses that term. And we'll read it if we get over here to where those notes are. Concerning if any man enter in through me, he shall receive its life more abundantly to which he comes. Or abundant life. Well, hon, abundant life is not me living for Christ. Abundant life is Christ living in me. Now, this is what Paul talks about everywhere, and particularly in Galatians chapter 2, and, you know, right there in chapter 2, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, he says. Nevertheless, I live. I have life. I live. Yet not I. See, and I said a while ago, life is not me living. That's exactly what Paul writes, what he writes in Galatians 2:20. He says, yet I live, but not I. Yet not I. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. And there's another place where Paul says with regard to life. And he says that in a place where he says, for to me to live is Christ. Now, I've heard that quoted time and time again, and I've even read it in books where the quotations were, you know, printed. And I've heard people say, for me to live is Christ. I've heard preachers say that. For me, Paul says, for to me to live is Christ. Paul says, for, and they read it this way, or quote it this way, Paul says, for me to live is Christ. But that isn't what Paul says. And that isn't how it's actually written. Because one there said that away is a statement of life. The other way is a statement of how you and what you consider life to be. So Paul says, for to me, which means for my understanding of life is just this. For to me to live is Christ. Not for me to live, for to me to live is Christ. That's the same thing as he said, not I, but Christ who liveth in me. Any way you want to put it, when Paul talks about life, it's always Christ of whom he is speaking. That's what life is. And everything other than that, anything short of that, is less than that. It might be a human existence. It might be any of the terms you want to give to it. But it's not life, because, hon, Christ is life. He's not what life is all about. He is life. And He is the fullness of life. It is the same with Him being life, L-I-F-E, and light, L-I-G-H-T. He is the fullness of light. When God said, "Let there be light," it was Christ. Oh yes, hon. In the beginning was the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with, was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And it was by that Word that everything was done that God the Father did. But in that Word that Christ is declared as being there in John 1, John chapter 1, the first few verses right there, life, He says, the Word is the life. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. And in Him, the Word, is life. And the life is the light. It works the same way in our hearts, hon. See, we want to understand Christ today. We want to write our doctrines. We want to get our teachings just right. And then we want people to get the teaching books. We've got one right here. I'm sitting here reading it. The study manuals. All right. But the knowing of the Word who is the life and the light of life, knowing that Word has to go beyond academic understanding. No matter how many books you read, no matter how many languages you can teach and understand, no matter. No matter how many times you have read the Scriptures and memorized the Scriptures throughout the Bible, all of these things being necessary to our turning our attention, there's no doubt to that. I stay in the Scriptures every day. Most all of us here do, and many of you, I'm sure, as well. But what I'm telling you, darling, is there is a reason for searching the Scriptures, and the reason is that we may go beyond the words as we look at them, as we can see them, as they are printed on this page, that we go beyond that, by that I mean that we go into that Word and there find not letter but Spirit. The Spirit out from whom the letters came, out from whom, yes, these words came. But it is that Spirit that opens the eyes of our understanding. It is the Spirit by which God is able to shine in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, hon, that goes far beyond our natural understanding. And it goes to exactly what I'm talking to you about here. The Word of life. The I am that I am. the Word who is life, and the Word who is light. The Word who dwells in you. This word cannot be understood with the natural mind. There must be a working of the Spirit on that natural mind. There must be a renewing. There must be an opening of the eyes of our understanding so that it is the understanding of the Spirit that is given to us concerning the life that we have in Christ, concerning the life who lives in us. It has to be a work of the Spirit. Has to be a work of the Spirit. So, we're talking here about the I am that I am, the eternal one himself. Jesus presents himself here as the I am. And it is in that term, I am, that everything of spiritual life comes to find its fulfillment and its fullness. Because Christ is both the fullness and the fulfillment. He's the fulfillment of all promises. And by being the fulfillment of all promises, He is the fullness of all promises. I mean, God doesn't promise you one thing and give you something just a little bit less. No, what He promises, He gives to us in the fullness of His Son. Because that Son, Christ Himself, is not only the promises of God, not only the Word of God, but He is the eternal gift of God for you and I. So, we're talking about the I am here. And we're talking about it as that life which is Christ. And anything other than that is not life at all. Christ is life. He did not say that I will give you life as aside from Himself. He said, I am life. And one of the places that is set forth in such a tremendous way, and that's in John 14, verse 6. And it's there, that's the I am factor that we've been talking about, that the quote, the one who is quoted in John 14, verse 6. Because, hon, it was then that He was talking to His 12 disciples. Now, He had been with these men, or these men had been with Him, for at least 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Every day. Walking. I mean, they were together every day. They were together around the clock. 3.5 years. And yet, they did not understand Him when He spoke of the life that He was. Nowhere. You can go through the whole book of John and you'll find what I'm talking about. Every time He started talking about life, they couldn't understand what He was talking about. They just couldn't do it. Even those disciples could not get a hold of it. And a lot of times when He was doing that, multitudes that actually saw Him heal somebody and multitudes that saw him give them bread and give them fishes and feed them all, they've seen all of that. But when he started talking about, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Things like that. When he began to say that, you have never seen my Father. My Father and I are one. And when he began to talk to them about something other than an outward appearance, they just left. I mean, they left. And in some cases, some of those who called themselves disciples, other than the 12 disciples, but there were some others that walked along, they were carried away with those multitudes as well. And you read more about this in the Gospel of John than in any of the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. You read this in John because John just cuts down to the bone with regard to who Christ is. Not in the flesh. He's come in the flesh all right, and he was there in the flesh because he had to go to the cross. But John seemed to look in beyond that, and most of his writings were concerning who Christ was in spirit and in truth. And that's a fact. And therefore, it will be in the Gospel of John that we read here, I am the door. If any man cometh by me, and that if any man cometh, it must be by me. And if any man cometh by me, then he shall find life and life more abundantly. And I think that's what some of these preachers that preach meant, and the one this morning when he said he sent his son so that we would have better lives. I think he thought that was abundant life. It's not. Abundant life is life that cannot be measured. That, I'm telling you the truth. Abundant means measureless. But there's only one who is measureless, hon. And that's the one who has in him all fullness dwells. Right? For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. If all fullness dwells in Christ, if all fullness dwells in anybody or anything, but it doesn't, it dwells in Christ. It simply means that there's no measurement. There's no measurement. It can't be measured, it can be experienced. Given him to be head over all things to the church, which is the vessel of his fullness, the fullness that filleth all in all. And that's another thing, honey, when we're thinking about fullness, we can't think about it being measured. Fullness is just that. It is fullness. Fullness is something that overflows. It's the well of water that not only springs up, but flows out. The I am factor that we're talking about is Christ saying, I am life. And I wrote down here, so you see something, hon. Jesus saying, I am life. Please don't say, I will give you life one day. I will do this one day. Don't do that. You might as well just take your Bible and don't throw it away, go burn it up. If you're going to do something like that with the Scripture, because we have to, we don't look in the Scripture and think you're looking at a bunch of teachings. You're not. You're looking in the Scripture and you're seeing Christ. If it was not for Him, there would be no Scripture. Honey, it wouldn't exist. You don't know about that, do you? Well, be careful. He's the one that looks at the Jews, who has all the Scripture. They got it rolled up. You know all of that. He got it there. And why do they have it? He explains that. You search the Scriptures, and then you think you have eternal life, and then He just steps right into the middle of it and presents who? I am. He steps right into the middle of it and presents Himself as what they think they're finding in the Scripture. And the reason He says that is He says, they are they which testify of Me. And that's the same thing as when I said a while ago, if they don't speak of Him, they wouldn't exist. You understand that? Given of Him. The testimony of Him. It is here that the Holy Spirit opens the eyes of our understanding that we may see the One who is in us, who is being declared to be in us by the very Scripture we're sitting here looking at. And I trust that our gaze will go farther than the letter. For when He who is the Spirit of truth is come. Jesus said that 2,000 years ago. He is come. The question is He in you? But He is come. He's not off somewhere. So you see, we have to do our whole salvation. If He is life, the life, there in 14 verse 6, I am the way, which means the only one there is. I am the way, the light, the life. And that means, even the fact that that word is put in there, the word the, that it is there, as it is in John 14, 6, means there isn't any other. This is it, the one and only. But what really makes way and truth and life one? The I am. That's what makes them one. Because the I am is not three different people. It's one. I am. I am the way, I am the light, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. He said the same thing there He's been saying to the Jews. I am the door. The door unto life. I am the door unto life. My. I don't know for sure where I'd find that Scripture that I'm really looking for here. So it's in John 10, and I believe it is John, it's John 10. It is right here. John 10, verse 9. I am the door. Now compare this with what is in John 14, verse 6. I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in. Goodness. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, well, that made whole, and shall go in and out and find pasture. This doesn't mean he'll be in Christ one time, out of Christ another time. That isn't what it means. Most of the Bible scholars that we have even here know better than that. It means that the union is so secure that whatever we do, having entered in through the door, that whatever we do is out from him who is the door. Not going out of him, not coming back, going out, not that. That isn't what it's talking about. The word that is translated from that means to reach out. And to live out. Actually, I believe it was, I wrote it down, but one of them was to live out from him. To be an expression of him wherever we're found. To be a testimony and a witness of him wherever we're found. But it does not mean, like it seems to here in King James Version, but it doesn't mean that. So I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall be made whole, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. I am come. I circled this a long time. I don't know how long, I've had this workbook. It doesn't make any difference. But I circled this a long time. I am come. I am come. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That is to say, and I added that, without measure. Now, that's John 10. John 11, Jesus continues to, what's the time?
You got 8. I just showed you that. So you got.
I didn't see it. Okay, I got it now. He speaks of this, I am the door, and then I am the way, the truth, the life. All of that is in John 10 and then in John 14. Here in John 11, we carry that a little farther in John 11. And I say farther, at least we gather it up open it up, rather. So let's look with this few minutes here. He is the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. So see, honey, it makes both of these extremely, extremely, extremely personal. Not personal with the Father. Personal with him. It's not something written on a rock. It's not something written on paper. It is personal with the Father. It is not someone of whom the Father gives us a storybook. Not really. We have in this book a great testimony of Him. But hon, our salvation, if you'll permit me to say it, our salvation is more than a testimony of Him. Our salvation is the living witness of Him living in you and living in me by the eternal Spirit of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of the living God who is Himself the door and the way and the truth and the life. And He is the one who comes forth in the power of the resurrection and sets upon the throne. Well, is that not the Lord Jesus? Certainly it's the Lord Jesus, but it's the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God. And that's the door we're talking about, and the character of that door is the thing that we have to face when we enter in by way of the door. Well, he goes on in John 14, and there is where we are faced with the resurrection and the life. The resurrection and the life. And it is there with Martha and Mary. That Jesus Himself sets the stage. Lazarus has been allowed to sleep, to die. There's a lot to be said about that, and I'll not try to push that in 5 minutes or any other time. But we'll look at that, and it's a tremendous thing. Mary had her own doctrine, just like most of Israel did have, that those that believed in a resurrection believed that it was yet to come and that it would come in the last day. And Martha believed the same thing when she come and talked to the Lord and asked, you know, why didn't you get here? If you had gotten here, then maybe he wouldn't have died. He'd still be alive if you could have healed him if you had hurried. But the Lord didn't come for that. He came to raise him up, because the whole purpose of it was that the Son of God be glorified. And hon, the purpose of the resurrection, as we will see the resurrection to be, is for the glorification of the Son of God. Now, the resurrection is not something that is still off waiting to happen on what someone would call the last day. No, the resurrection is already come. And if you're born from above, He now lives in you. I am the resurrection and the life. What a tremendous thing. What a tremendous thing. We'll just stop here. Ephesians 2, verse 5 and 6. Read it when you can. What I'm saying here about it is just this. Speaking concerning the Lord. Even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Here's the resurrection. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, it's not that we're saved, born again, waiting to go to heaven, and one day there'll be a resurrection. No, the resurrection is the lifeline of our salvation. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Hath raised us up together as one body. Hath made us set together as one body in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is right here saying that Jesus saying, I am the resurrection. I am not just the raising up. I am the one who lives in you. I am the resurrection and the life. And those who have me, those in whom I dwell, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And those who are in me, believing in me, shall never die. Let us remember one thing here. Only the dead are in need of resurrection. Only the dead are in need of resurrection. The Lord says, for the dead, I am the resurrection and the life. And he's talking there about the dead, the true Bible term, dead. The separated from God, dead in sin, dead, a soul separated from the life-giving Spirit. Israel was under the whole administration of that kind of death. That's what Paul called with the law and the whole system and administration of the Jews. He called it the administration of death. It was as though they were in a grave waiting for the resurrection to come, whom God hath promised to his prophets. Jesus says to them, during him talking to them, I am the resurrection, I am come, that they might have life, that they may have it more abundantly. I am the resurrection. Sweetheart, the church that you and I are, his body, that body which he hath quickened together, raised together, seated together in heavenly places, is the body that you and I are. It's that body. It is that very body. It is ever, it is ongoing, it is in fact eternal. Well, all right. But that body exists by the power of the resurrection, which is Christ living in you and I. The power of his resurrection is life. And it is that life living in you and I by which we are quickened together, raised together, seated together. Oh, my Lord, hon. It is that very power that Paul said, according to his power which worketh in me. It is life. It is life working in you, in me, because life is the person of the indwelling. My. Eternal. All powerful. All dominion. Son of God. What a life. What a salvation. Father, open our eyes. Open our eyes. The eyes of our soul, our heart, our understanding of our mind, that we may see the indwelling Son, that we may see Him and grow up in the grace and the knowledge of Him in whom all fullness dwell. Father, show us. Show us. Show us our life. Show us our salvation. Show us our state of being. Oh, Father, open our eyes and let the light of the knowledge of the Son of God fill our heart and soul. Thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, folks. We've got a visitor.